Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Daily New Year's Podcast. I'm your host, Austin Bollinger, and today we're talking to someone who lives her life on the go. So some part of me has always wanted to live in an RV, you know, like for a year, maybe two, travel the country, and Glenda Hoon Russell is doing just that. But that's not all she's doing. Glenda is a speaker, entrepreneur, and writer, and she's been through a few life experiences that have influenced the person that she is today. Losing both of her parents at a young age, dealing with a 10-year secret eating disorder, 4 job layoffs, anxiety that goes through the roof, and a whole lot of self-hate, just to name a few. She's been on a wild ride, and she's so grateful for her experiences because they taught her the lessons she needed to be the person she is today. The status quo is a place that questions the status quo. She loves the question of why and asks it often. She teaches her audiences the same tools she uses every day on how to find and keep their inner peace and cultivate the courage to create a life on their terms. She not only speaks about creating a life on your terms, but she also lives what she preaches. Her and her husband, Chris, have been traveling and working remotely in their RV since 2017, and she believes freedom is the new black. Freedom from debt, freedom from living life on autopilot, freedom from societal conditioning, and freedom of choice. I'm so excited to dive into this conversation with Glenda Hoon Russell so that we can talk about how we can bring some freedom into our own lives and how we can overcome the status quo. So Glenda, welcome to the podcast. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Austin. I'm so excited for being here and thank you for inviting me to be a part of the show.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad we connected. I know we've talked a little bit kind of offline already, and so I think this is going to be a tremendous conversation. I'm so intrigued by what you're doing, and I'm anxious to dive into it. But before we do dive in, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? What's your story? What's your background?
Sure. So what I'll do is I'll start with the background of what spurred our RV living and living full-time in an RV. But basically, it started with the death of both of my parents. Back in 2013, my father passed away from a neurological degenerative disease. He basically, for 6 years, he struggled with this disease, and he was a normal functioning human being. And for 6 years, it slowly deteriorated all of his voluntary abilities, like everything from his handwriting to being able to grasp a glass of water. He became mute in his final years, and he even got to the point where he couldn't blink his eyes. We had to put eye drops. So if you can imagine, he lost all of his independence.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Bathroom.
Yeah, it was
horrible.
Terrible. Yeah, just terrible. And so just watching him go through that for 6 years was life-changing for me. And then, so in 2013, he passed away. And then 3 years later, my mom passed away from a heart attack. I remember reading this statistic, and I don't know exactly who said it, but a caregiver, my mom was the caregiver for my dad. Usually after 3 years after they have, after the person who has passed away, the caregiver on average lives about 3 years because they give so much of themselves to that person. And my mom fell right into that category.
Man.
And into that statistic. And so both of those deaths were traumatic for me. It was, and the years before of watching my father with this illness and battling that, it really woke both my husband and I up to realize what are we doing? What are we doing with our life? And it was, we just started questioning all the activities that we were doing. You know, we were both working corporate jobs and in our careers, and just we were in the rat race that we all tend to float into and to just get back in line. And when 2 weeks after my mom passed away, my husband was laid off from his job. And we're no strangers to being laid off. We've been laid off a total of 4 times in the last 10 years. So it's something that I just, not that I want to get used to it, but we've right. been through a couple of those rodeos, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So once we started questioning what were we doing, we really started to say, well, what can we start doing to start living? You know, we watched my parents, they both saved and did everything that they needed to do for retirement. And they were ready to take their retirement. They were ready to check off all their bucket list items. They were ready to start living. And both of them were, because of different reasons, were not able to do that. And that had such a huge impact on me that I decided that I'm not going to live that way anymore. I'm not going to wait to live, that I'm going to begin creating the life that I want to live.
Yeah, so I mean, you said it. You said that they were ready to start living their life. And that's so profound, because I know we're going to dive into this, but I think that's what most of us do, right? We do all the stuff we think we're supposed to do, the status quo, which again, I know we're going to get into, but we put off the stuff we want to do. We just wait to start living.
Yeah. And the thing is it usually takes some kind of traumatic event to realize how precious life is, whereas we all have this ability to appreciate it right now, even if we're in the trenches of whatever we're going through. And it was, so that's basically what started our RV journey. We didn't know a single thing about RVing. RVing was something that we had talked about. I thought about getting an Airstream for at the time I had a remote graphic and website design firm. And I thought, oh, this would be so cool if I could renovate an Airstream. And so it was just all talk, right? Just all talk to have to do this journey. But we just decided that we're going to do this and we're going to follow through to the end of this and just keep trying to go in this direction. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't smooth. It was a tumultuous journey. I mean, oh my gosh, everything went wrong. But the important part was that Chris and I, my husband, were on the same page. We knew that we wanted to have more adventure in our life, more traveling, more doing, more things. We wanted to be surrounded by the things we love, which is family, nature, and experiences. And so that was our driving force. And so we just started taking it one step at a time and bought an RV. And since 2017, we've been traveling around the US. We both work remote jobs and we travel with our Labrador Forbes.
That's so Forbes?
Forbes, yeah.
That's awesome.
We adopted him. He came with that name.
That's awesome. No, I love it. What's your favorite place so far that you've been to on your journey?
That's such a good question.
I know, and it's a totally unplanned question. I apologize, but I just have to know because, you know, this is something that I'm so intrigued by. I love the mountains and nature and just all these things. And so, I don't know, the United States is such a big place. We always think about traveling the world, but there's so much right here.
There really is. You know, I try not to pick favorites, but Southwest Colorado in the San Juan Mountain Range is spectacular. There's a town called Ouray. It's a tiny little mountain town that's surrounded completely 360 by mountains, and it's just gorgeous. I mean, you feel humbled by its majesty. It's just, if you haven't been there, that's an amazing place to go.
That's awesome. So it's fully surrounded. I guess you have to go through a pass to get there.
Oh, yes.
And so could probably in the wrong time of the year get stuck there too, which maybe that would be a good place to get stuck.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So circling back, I appreciate you, you know, sharing your story. I think like you said, it's unfortunate that something tragic tends to have to happen to shock us out of the rut that we're in, or if you don't want to call it a rut, because I think a lot of people wouldn't call everyday life a rut, but we put our lives on hold. We postpone what we want to do later, but we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And so, you know, in your bio, your website, and I know you're coming out with a book too, you talk about the status foe. And you talk about kind of ditching the status quo. So can we dive into that? Why the status foe? I think I know where this comes from, but I'd love to hear more about it.
Yeah. So the status foe is that I believe the status quo is the enemy to living the life you truly deserve. And I'm a huge believer that we are distracted with a lot of shiny things that lead us to make decisions in our life that may not be exactly what we want. They may be influenced through social conditioning, through our parents, our grandparents, our social status, whatever that is, that everything influences us and it influences our decision. And what I'm trying to do is encourage people to become more aware of their life and different aspects of their life where they can observe to see if they're making the decisions that to live the life that they want to live, or are they living a life that society or someone else is telling them to live?
Living on like default, so to speak. So we're all born into certain cultural environments. We're all born into family, you know, belief systems. So there's all this stuff that we grow up with that becomes our default. And it's so hard to step back and look at that and say, did I choose this life, or is this life handed to me and I just have been living it by default?
Right. Right. Yeah. And this is a lifelong process. I don't think that anyone can ever say, well, I've fixed all the social conditioning that's been in my life and I am just truly living on my own terms. I think that it's like an onion where you're unraveling and unbecoming one layer at a time. So it's not just this epiphany where you find enlightenment or anything like that. It's just it's an ongoing process.
Yeah.
And I love personal development. So this is,
Too. Yeah. No, I am always engrossed in an audiobook or podcasts or books that I'm reading or something. And so that's why I love having these types of conversations, because not everyone is, or if they are, maybe they stick close to one kind of topic. And so I think this is a topic I haven't seen come up too awful lot, you know, the breaking loose of the status quo and questioning, am I living the life I want to live? Did I create this, or am I just kind of going through the motions?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So you have three cornerstones to freedom, that are going to help us break free of the status quo. Do you want to share those with us?
Absolutely. I always like to start this question with defining what is freedom.
That's a good question. Yeah, and it probably looks different to everyone. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but yeah.
Oh, you're great. Yes, freedom is absolutely, it's determined by the individual. But freedom for me means the freedom of choice. It's the ability to understand that in most of our decisions, in most of our behaviors, we have a choice in how we move forward. And it's having that ability to pause before a decision needs to be made and decide whether to react or to respond. And which I'm encouraging to respond, right? Which, because you're responding with logic or with feeling or with intuition, however you want to respond is up to the individual. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, there's different kinds of freedom. So there's freedom from different things, and then there's freedom to. So I think that there's a lot of different freedoms from what are things in your life that you feel are holding you back? Well, sometimes those things that are holding us back is just in our head. It's just a mentality. And then there's freedom too, which there's freedom to live location independent, or to work remotely, or to have a job where you have your own schedule. So all of these different types of freedom kind of are all mixed into one bowl. And so it's important that we establish that it's really about the freedom of choice. So for me, there's those three cornerstones, which are financial independence, minimalism, and mindfulness. And with financial independence, usually money, if anyone is like me, and usually most of my clients are like me, but that money seems to be a huge hurdle in, well, I don't have enough money, so I can't do X.
Right.
Or, you know, how can you travel? I mean, you must have all kinds of money, or money seems to be such a hurdle. And the way that I see it is, I encourage my clients to change their relationship with money, and that it's not this big monster that's hindering us from doing the things we want, but it's more of an opportunity. It's an avenue for opportunity. And that's a more positive view on money. And I think that we can always change our perspective on things. I use this example of, do you remember, I don't know if you've ever been scared of bees, but I'm a little scared of bees.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel my, as soon as I see one, I can feel like the hair standing up, and it's like, don't, you know, you're watching it and you're trying to avoid it at all costs. No, I totally, and they always tell you, just don't bother them and they won't bother you. But man, I've been stung a couple bad times. And so there's just this instant reaction.
Ditto, me too. And bees, wasps, whatever it is, but especially with bees. And then in the last couple of years, I've seen a lot of, especially on social media and different articles, that people are really embracing bees. You know, they help the earth, they pollinate, we need them, they're sweet, you know, just don't bother them, they won't bother you, you know. And so this perception of bees has changed from these incredibly scary animals that are almost like tigers, which, but now it's like, oh no, save the bee, you know, let it, you know, don't use, what is it? What am I thinking of? Pesticides and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so now we just want to share and hug the bee and say, thank you for all that you've done for us. And I believe that with most things, we can change our perception. And again, going back to money, that's how I see money, is that it doesn't have to control us, that we can learn how to control our money. And it just takes some planning and discipline. And I believe that anybody can achieve what they want, their money goals, with planning and discipline. And that was one of the things that gave my husband and I such freedom to have the ability to do this RV life. A lot of people will think, oh, well, you're a trust fund baby, you know, your parents died, you must have got some money. And the thing is that we had a little money from the house sale, but from years and years before, we had gone through our Dave Ramsey Financial Peace course. So we had learned to manage our money. We crushed about $80,000 in debt.
And wow.
Yeah. And that gave us the freedom to not have payments to our student loans, to not have, you know, we learned how to manage our money. We learned how to set goals. We learned how to control our money instead of letting it control us. And I think that that's the big disconnect with money, is that people think it controls them, when really you can control it.
Right. And I think a lot of people think if they just had a little bit more money coming in, they could change their habits, or they could pay something off. But study after study, and just, you know, the trend shows, no matter how much money you make, if you don't learn how to control the money, no amount of increase in financial income is going to help. Because if you mismanage, you know, $1,000 a month, you're probably going to mismanage $10,000 a month. And that's where people fall into that trap. I've read Dave Ramsey's books. I've never gone through his course, but it's a whole different way to look at how to manage your finances. And I think a lot of people don't dive into it because they just don't think, they don't know how to get started, or they don't think it applies to them because they don't make enough money. But I've read some crazy, $80,000 is impressive. I've read some crazy stories, and I'm like, how in the heck did they pay that amount of money off in a year or 2 years? But yeah, like you said, it takes, you got to set a goal, learn how to do it, and then just follow through.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also having the mentality that everything is temporary. You know, this is a Buddhist concept that I embrace, and I probably say it out loud and internally about 500 times a day, because it's such a great reminder to remember that even if you have to go through paying off a student loan or going through the financial Peace University, that phase of working really hard towards that goal isn't forever. It's a temporary pain for a peaceful gain, is what I call it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's just remember that even though you're working so hard, that it's just a temporary part of your life. And that's what I believe every phase in our life is that it's just a temporary phase. But we'll get into that in just a minute. But
you said a temporary pain for a peaceful gain. I'm writing it down because that's awesome. My wife is studying for her real estate license right now. And, you know, she's been at it for 2 weeks and she's 20% of the way through. And she's like, oh my gosh, it's so, you know, the math pieces are hard and I'm only 20% of the way through. And I'm like, this is just, I didn't say it's temporary, but I'm like, you know, 20% is a lot further along than 0%. And it's just like college, which now was 10 years ago. In a year, this thing you're doing is going to seem like such a distant memory. But it's just when you're in it, it seems like such a big thing. So I love that it's a temporary pain for a peaceful gain. I like that a lot. And I'm sorry, I keep derailing you from your three pillars.
No, you're great. You're great. So the other two pillars are minimalism and mindfulness. So with minimalism, there's a lot of different definitions for minimalism, but for me, it's creating space. It's removing the things, the mindsets, the whatever it is, just removing what you don't want in your life so you have the space to include more of what you want. And that might be with the things in your house. I know minimalism goes a lot with, or coincides a lot with the decluttering and,
right,
you know, that whole movement. But I think it's also decluttering your schedule, decluttering your to-do list, decluttering what news and social media you take in, the information that we absorb, and again, just making room for the things that you want, removing what you don't, making room for what you do. And then the last pillar is mindfulness, mindset. I use those interchangeably, but I believe our minds are so powerful. And it, when we're able to shift our perspective on focusing on what we want, on focusing on the good, on focusing on becoming better people, a better person, then your whole life just changes. It's just amazing how becoming more aware, more present in your daily life, more present with your family, more present with your wife, your kids, it's amazing how more colorful your life becomes, your daily life. You know, it doesn't become so mundane because you're present for once, and it's beautiful.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think those three cornerstones make a ton of sense. The the minimalist, I think a lot of people think, okay, I just got to get rid of all my stuff. And that may not necessarily be true. Like you said, it's getting rid of things that prevent you from having more of what you want, which goes back to, I think, freedom being the power of choice. So for one person, having their own house may be freedom from their parents' house or freedom from an apartment that they outgrew. But to the next person, having a house may be a limiting factor for exploring the world and going RVing. So then having a house prevents your freedom to do that thing. It's the same with minimalism. It's going to be different for everyone. And so you have to really evaluate and look at, what's the life I want to build? What would give me more freedom to do that? How would minimalism kind of clear some space to make that possible? So I think it all makes total sense.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I like it a lot. So I think this kind of plays into, you know, a lot of people, some people have a dream life that is kind of a fantasy. Some people have a dream life they're actively hoping for someday. And then some people have a dream life that they're actively building towards. I see and hear a lot of people talk about or ask the question, how do you build a dream life, or how do you plan a dream life? And so I'm wondering if you, with your three cornerstones and just your background, if you have any exercises or ideas to help us get started with building a dream life.
Absolutely. So Austin, the activity that I do with my clients to jumpstart them is so incredibly simple. You're going to laugh, but it's so impactful. So I call it the ideal day exercise. And this is exactly what I did when I first started. And this was probably done, this was well in advance before my parents had passed away. I had done this in a conference and as a, you know, worksheet, and I held on to it, and it stood with me. It's still relevant even today, that first one that I did.
That's awesome.
So basically on a sheet of paper, anyone can do this right now. On a sheet of paper, make two columns. And on your first column, I want you to go through and write down what your, be very honest with yourself, but what does your day look like right now? When you wake up, how are you waking up? Are you waking up stressed out with the alarm, you know, just, you know, throwing your fist at your phone and not wanting to wake up and then running out the door to your office? You know, be very clear about how you feel and be very honest with what you're actually doing. Are you running out the door with, eating a breakfast that, whatever breakfast you're eating, or maybe you're not even eating breakfast, you're just drinking an energy drink. I mean, it, you know, being really, really honest and go through your entire day. And then in the next column, have fun with this and write down your ideal day, like from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed. And is it that you wake up and you have a slow morning? You have a cup of coffee with your spouse next to you? Is it that you want morning sex? Is it that you want to have a really healthy breakfast and work out and have a meditation? I mean, whatever that ideal day is for you, just write it down. And the more outrageous those ideas that bubble up, write those down. I mean, because those are the goodies. Those are the good ones. So then take a look at both of those columns, both of those days, and look at the difference. Look at what you're actually living versus how you want to live.
Do you find it's usually pretty staggering, the
it
difference?
Is. Yeah. Oh, it is. It just, and I, you see the light bulbs just go off in people's minds. And I believe that this is part of the status quo, that we are so unaware of our daily actions that we don't know that we're living this robotic life, this life on autopilot. Like we just think, well, I'm feeding my family. I need to go to the doctor. I need to go to this networking event. I have to do this podcast. You know, we're just doing without responding and without doing it with without doing it intentionally.
Yeah. The intention, the purpose, that's what is missing. Yeah.
Yeah. So then from there, the first step is to pick one thing from the ideal column, ideal day column, and start incorporating it into your day. And what I do is whenever I do exercises like this, I post it where I can see it every single day. So in my office setting, in my RV, I have like a little space that I post things that are motivating for me, quotes. Maybe it's something I'm working on with my self-confidence. Maybe it's Glenda, finish the book, whatever it is. I have all kinds of motivational quotes and posts that I, little mantras that I'm working on. But with my ideal day, I kept that around so I could see it every single day. And it just starts with one little thing. And then once you finish that, you say, you just feel how wonderful it is to accomplish it. And you want to go to the next, and you want to go to the next. And it, I say, start with the smaller things. And sometimes that has to do with, well, I just want to declutter my office space. And that's great. That's a wonderful place to start. Or maybe it's that you want to incorporate more plants it into your life. Whatever it is, I've seen all kinds of really cool answers. But it's starting out with something small and then building your way up, because these big shifts, no one can do that in a day. I mean, this has taken me years to develop this, and it's habit building, and you know all about that. But you start with one small task, feel the joy out of it, feel the accomplishment, and then go to the next one.
That's so hard to do.
Oh my gosh.
It sounds so easy, like you said, but that's so hard to do. And you mentioned, you can't do something in a day. And what is it about our innate human nature that we want to do everything so quickly? Is it because we want to, I don't know, this is just a thought that I'm having, but is it because we're ready to move on to the next thing? Or is it because we just want to get something done so we can be done doing and we can just be? Like, I think resolutions, I advocate against resolutions, and it's kind of the same thing. And on January 1st, I'm going to set a resolution. I'm going to knock this thing out and then I'll be done. But I think mindset and just goal setting and minimalism, whatever it is, once you adopt something like that into your life, it becomes almost like your lifestyle, and there is no end. And so we don't have to do anything really in one day. I don't know. That wasn't really a question as much as it was just a stream of consciousness.
No, I love it. I love it. And I think that this goes back to the status quo, that we are inundated with advertisements and whatever it is, our culture, that there's a need for speed, that if you're not succeeding in the short run, you're doing something wrong. And I think that that's something that we have to let go, because as you and I know, it takes time to build whatever we're building, whether it's the life we want, the business we want, the family life we want. It takes time, and there's nothing to be scared about with time. Time is a really beautiful thing. It's a gift.
Absolutely. It's the most precious gift, because we only have so much of it, and we need to be using it very intentionally with purpose. We need to be thinking about what we're doing. It's important. And we're all moving so fast, it's hard to stop and think about that. So I'm glad that you and I at least are taking time to talk about it. And I hope that people listening are going to take some time to think about it, because it's so important. So shifting gears a little bit, I was browsing your website, as podcasters do when they bring a guest on, and I saw that you offer several workshops and you do speaking, and so you've got some topics, and one of them was called I Am Dying, and I just know that there's a story here.
Yes, this one gets a lot of attention, and I think just because it's so controversial, but I have a daily meditation practice. I meditate in the morning, and I also meditate in the evenings. And as a couple, my husband and I meditate in the evenings together. It's just an activity we do. And One of the things that we do after our meditation is we say the five remembrances. And this is from Buddhism. And one of those remembrances is, I will die. And these are, and actually, let me go ahead and tell you what all the remembrances are. So the first one is, I will age. I will get sick. I will die. My actions are my only possessions, and I cannot escape their consequences. Every person and thing that I love will change, and I will be separated from them. Wow. And what these are, and it's funny, I usually get a very morbid response like, oh my God, you just, how are you such a happy person? And the thing is that these are remembrances to remind myself on a daily basis of reality. I can't escape dying. I can't escape aging. I can't escape most illnesses. I mean, there are some, don't get me wrong, like you should take care of your body, you know, cover your sneezes.
And you should definitely go into quarantine when COVID is running amok.
Yes. But, you know, there's so many people that are struggling with cancer. They never thought they would get cancer, or they get some kind of disease, or like my dad, he never thought he would get this disease that only affects 1% of the population. It, you know, it's just, and I don't wish any sickness on anybody, but it just, it's going to happen, right?
Right. At some point, at some scale.
At some point. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Whatever that scale is. So dying for me, watching both of my parents pass away so soon just had such an impact on me that I said, I am going to live every single day intentionally. I'm sure you've seen different articles that on people on their deathbed, what their biggest regrets are. It's not about having a certain car or getting a certain promotion or having a certain iPhone. It's that they wanted to spend more time with their family. They wanted to travel more. They wanted to make peace with a person who did them wrong and go through that forgiving, letting go process. And it's a reminder that I don't have any control of what happens to me, but I have the ability to respond. I have the ability to control how I respond and my behaviors. And with reminding myself that tomorrow is not promised, this afternoon is not promised, it helps me to learn that every single moment of my life is an incredible gift. And I don't want to waste a single moment of it. And the thing is that I'm not sitting around every single day in the mountains hiking and or on the beach in Hawaii. I'm working a normal job. My normal day to day, I'm sitting in front of a computer working on my business. But the difference here is that I've made a change where I have a business that is fulfilling, that I'm right. helping people. And that's something that I wanted to do regardless of what society told me to do or what degree I had. I had a graphics design degree, which
same.
I'm not, yeah, nice. Which, you know, I'm not really, I'm glad I have it. I'm glad for those experiences, but I'm not really using it now. And so I'm having to learn all these new skills. And so it's just a reminder of how precious life is, and that if I'm not taking advantage of being present in my everyday and making the most and being kind and being compassionate, all the things that I value, then tomorrow could be my last day. And right. so I just, it helps me live intentionally. So I So I tell myself I'm going to die every single day.
Yeah. And you said that a lot of people have kind of a negative reaction to that, or they think that it's morbid. But again, like a lot of the things we've talked about, perspective is everything. And so I think that those five remembrances can be a real thing of beauty if they cause you to look at life like the precious gift that it is, not just this thing we're not entitled to it, you know? Bad people live long times. Sometimes good people die too early. Like you never know what kind of life you're going to have. And so these five remembrances really can help you just, again, see life as the gift that it is. And you mentioned the regrets at the end of life. I haven't read the book, but there's a book called The Top Five Regrets of Dying. And it was written by, I think she was a nurse, and her job was end of life care. So literally every day, I think it's Bronnie Ware. She might have been Australian, but her job was basically seeing people through their final days. And she over time noticed that there were five most common regrets. And it's basically, if you want to summarize it, the five biggest regrets are all kind of around the status quo. You know, I wish I wouldn't have cared so much about what people thought. I wish I would have taken more risks and gone after my dreams. It's stuff we don't do because we're too busy going with the flow that we're supposed to, air quotes, supposed to go along with.
Absolutely. And I want to just insert this little comment. I still struggle with all of these items every single day.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah. But the difference is that I have committed myself to self-improvement and to working on this every single day, and not every day is perfect. And it's, you know, especially on the days when we have an emergency and we have a huge bill that we're like, oh my gosh, where am I going to get this money or whatever, or even this whole pandemic, you know, there's just this shift in that I am going to live intentionally. And I've been more gentle on myself instead of focusing on the end result of just enjoying the process and falling in love with that process and falling in love with failures, I think is one of the best things that you can do, because those are a part of it. That's a part of growth. You can't grow without failures, without something going wrong. And you just have to learn how to dust the dirt off your knees and get right back up and just realize, okay, what can I learn from that lesson? All right, let's move forward. And it's a process, right? It's a process to get there. But I want people to know that this is something I have to work on every single day. And that's why I have a mindfulness practice that I go to meditation. I do certain things to polish my mindfulness practice so I can continue this journey. Because it's not just reading a book and then you feel this freedom. It's having the practice every day.
Yeah, it takes the work. I 1,000% agree with everything you said. And I'm so glad that you pointed that out, because I think sometimes people think when we talk about these things that we've got them mastered. I talk a ton about goal setting, and this is not an intentional segue to my next question, even though it will work. But I'm not the goal setting expert. Last year, I know you're writing a book now. I was writing one last year, and I learned so much about goal setting that I didn't already know last year, and I'm learning now. And so, you know, just like you said, just because you talk about this stuff doesn't mean you're not still working on it. And so everything is just continual improvement. And it's kind of like I said earlier, once you dive into stuff like this, it becomes more of a lifestyle, not an end point. You don't get to a point where, okay, I'm mindful now, I'm done. You know, that's not how it works.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Because you and I are evolving creatures. Change is the only constant. And so you and I are going to be different people through our different phases in life. So we have to build the mindfulness practice so we can as we evolve, those practices can continue with us. And as we change, because change is inevitable, and we will hopefully change, because change is a great thing.
You know,
as we evolve and grow. I mean, it's exciting. And I know, and that's another thing our culture just doesn't love is change. Most people are afraid of change. And the thing is that it might seem scary as you cross the hurdle, but usually change can be a really beautiful thing.
Yeah. You know, at New Year's, you see the common mantra of new year, new you. But there's another saying that I've been seeing the last couple of years that has been even more sticks in my brain more than the other one. But it's don't live the same year 60 times and call it a life. And that's what a lot of people do, unfortunately, is every year is about the same. You know, there and no one stops to get off the rat race, the hamster wheel to change that. So if you have a little bit more time, I've got three questions that I like to ask everybody. These are kind of shorter, not rapid fire, but they're not as deep. They're not quite as serious. But, you know, I talk a lot about goal setting. And so one question I love is just how has goal setting played a role in your life?
I'm an INFJ, and so I like a lot of structure. So goal setting is something that's very natural for me. But just like what you were saying earlier, you have to learn how to goal set. I think that just being open to learning how, finding different ways. I mean, there's so many different opinions about how to goal set that, you know, have a beginner's mind with goal setting and do some research on different people and the way that they teach you how to goal set. And so that way you can learn how to goal set that fits your personality.
Yeah.
And that fits the way that you work. And so I'm a huge advocate for goal setting, but I do think that there's not a one formula fits all for it.
Absolutely. 100% agree. My wife cannot make heads or tails of my whiteboard. There's so many different colors of written stuff that makes total sense to me. It keeps me on track. It keeps me on my goals. She looks at it. She's like, what are you doing? You know? So yeah, it looks different for everybody. And the act of goal setting again is kind of a lifestyle, and find what works for you. That's great advice. So if you could ask the listeners to take one action today, what would that action be?
I remember when you sent this, and it's such a good question, but I think if you're feeling very stuck, for people who are listening that feel stuck right now, take some time to go back and figure out what are things that spark, I hate using that term, but spark joy in you, and that bring you happiness, that you get lost in, that you feel like the time just flies by. And that could be music, that could be having a conversation with someone, that could be art, that could be gardening, it could be working out, whatever those things are, write those down, the things that you get lost in, and incorporate more of the things you enjoy into your life today. Like, because those little moments that you can bring more happiness into your life, you'll start feeling more happy. You'll start feeling more fulfilled. And that will encourage you to want to feel that even more. You know, it's like a drug almost, because you're wanting more of it. And it's a healthy drug to want to do something fulfilling and something that brings you happiness. And so go back to those things and incorporate them into your life. And if you're struggling with time, look at how much time you're watching TV or how much time you're on your phone. Look at your screen time. Be really honest with yourself and take 30 minutes to start painting more or to start doing more music. And it's just amazing how those things that you actually enjoy doing bring so much color back into your life.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I love the spark kind of metaphor analogy. I never really learned the difference, but you know, I think to me, energy is like a fire. And so many of us are doing things that drain us. And so our fire kind of dies down. We lose our passion and our, and it does kind of come back down to a little glowing ember or spark, but you get, you know, a fire grows with the more you feed it. And so you have to find those things that give you energy, start fanning the fire. And the more that you do that, the more that that's going to grow and burn, and you'll, it seems so counterintuitive, but I always tell people, find that thing that excites you and do it. Even if you're tired, that will somehow give you more energy. And then you'll want to do more things that excite you, and you'll find more energy. And suddenly you're doing way more than you ever did before, but you have more energy at the same time. And it's that inner fire that's burning. So I love that you said a spark, because I think so many of us have let that fire die down to just a spark. And you've got to get that, got to fuel it.
Yeah. Austin, that was so beautifully put. Like, I'm so excited. That was gorgeous.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. No, it's something I'm passionate about, because, yeah, you know, I don't say this to brag, but I get up at 4:00. I put in usually 4.5 hours before I even go to the office. And then I get off at 5:30 or 6:00. And people are like, that sounds exhausting, but it fuels me. It really gets me going. It seems counterintuitive, but it works. Yeah, so you've mentioned remembrances. You said earlier, I think that you've got some mantras posted in your RV. And so my last question I always ask is, do you have a mantra that you live by? And if you do, could you share it with us?
Kindness wins. I believe that no matter what, kindness and compassion is the medicine of humanity, of the world, of the earth, of the universe. Like, it's when we are kind to ourselves, when we learn to accept ourselves, appreciate ourselves, and to love ourselves, our hearts grow, and we're able to be more kind, because we're finally fulfilled that we can help others in a meaningful way. And so that's just been one of my mantras is kindness wins, no matter what situation. You know, I get all kinds of negative comments on my social medias, and the thing is that, oh, well, I mean, that's normal, right?
It's, yeah,
I hate
unfortunately
saying that's the norm, but yeah, it's part of the business we're in. And I've had to make peace with that. But the thing is that if that person on the other end is hurting so badly that they have to sit and nitpick at me stumbling over my words or a typo in one of my blogs or whatever, right? They nitpick everything. That they're hurting so bad that they have to come at you and be ugly and hateful. That person is hurting inside. And so I think that when you can learn to see that when people react in that way, that the only way to stop that is not by reacting with hate back to them or sarcasm or anything, but with love, you stop that negative energy flow. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a huge believer that kindness always wins. And it's something that I have to work on every single day. If my ego starts to pop up, you know, I have to work on it. And so I try to remember that being kind, I will never regret being kind.
That's beautiful. I love it. It's a great mantra to live by. And I think it's something that we all need to hear. Cause I think, you know, as much as we all try to be kind, we have moments and we come across, yeah, you come across somebody that leaves a comment and you want to comment back. And so it's challenging, but it's a good thing to try to do for sure. Yeah. I have loved this conversation. It's been awesome.
Austin, I feel the same way. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah. So where can people connect with you? Because I know after listening to this, people are going to want to look you up. I know you mentioned a book that's forthcoming.
Yes. So I am very active on Instagram, and you can find me at glendahoonrussell.com. It we'll probably put some links in the show notes.
Absolutely. I will link up anything that you mention and more.
Okay. So Instagram, I'm also a big fan of TikTok. I love TikTok. It's so fun. And I'm also on LinkedIn and Facebook, but then I have my website. So the status faux, and faux is FOE. So thestatusfaux.com. And there you can jump on my email list if you're interested in getting on the book list. And I welcome anybody to visit my website, and I'll be coming out with different courses as the time goes by and I finish this book.
Yep.
So it's,
I signed up this morning because I definitely want to read this book, and I want to be one of the first people that get to read this book. And that's the advantage of being on launch teams and beta test teams, is you get to read stuff before anybody else. So I'm excited about it. And I'm definitely going to check out your TikTok, because you mentioned that last time and I forgot. And now that I'm putting together these show notes, I'm definitely checking this out.
Awesome.
Cool. Great. So as you mentioned, I'll put links to all that in the show notes. And I just cannot thank you enough for spending some of your time with me today. I know you said that you like to spend every day doing something intentional. And so the fact that you're here being on this podcast, it means the world.
Austin, thank you for that. And I just want to thank you. I love the work that you're doing. And I think that you are motivating people to find themselves, to find their goals, and to work in a positive direction. And we need more of that. We need more of that. And I just really support what you're doing and the way that you handle it. You handle it with grace. And I love that.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, no, thank you too. That was lovely of you to say. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Austin.
All right. Take care.
All right. You too.
All right. So present day Austin back here with you. Hey, I hope you enjoyed this conversation that I had with Glenda. I hope you learned as much as I learned. Man, this episode was just packed with so much information, from understanding the different types of freedom and understanding that freedom looks different for everyone. So are you free by having your own house, or is your house restricting your freedom to travel the world? Is your job giving you the freedom to live the life you want, or is your job holding you back from, you know, some other thing that you're trying to achieve? So freedom looks different to everybody. I thought that was so eye-opening. The five remembrances of the Buddhist religion. Wow. Like she said, some people can look at that, you know, with, wow, that's negative or that's morbid, but man, it's just, what a great way to remember that life is a gift. Every day is a gift. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. And so living every day like it could be your last, and just seeking freedom in your life. These are just such impactful messages. I know for one thing for sure is I'm going to try Glenda's ideal day challenge. I'm going to take that challenge. I'm going to fill out the worksheet. I'm going to try to plan my ideal day. I'm going to try to do more of what I love and less of what I don't. And I challenge you guys to do the same. Be sure to, you know, visit Glenda's website. She's got some free gifts over there, free downloads, a lot of useful content and resources over at her website, thestatusfaux.com. That link is in the show notes, along with so many other things mentioned in this episode, how to get in touch with Glenda, her website, and her book is coming out soon. I'm personally on her launch team. I invite you to join that as well. So as soon as her book is ready for preview, you'll get early access to that book so that you can help Glenda make the book even better. So much that you can take advantage of in this episode, so much that you can learn. I hope you found tremendous value. And if you did, as always, please leave a review on whichever platform you're listening to. Please share this with your circle of friends, family, coworkers, whoever you think might find value in this content, in the show, in this episode in particular. Please feel free to share that with your circle. And last but not least, don't forget to check out my book, Crush Your Goals. You can go to crushyourgoalsbook.com or you can access that on the Daily New Year's website. My book came out last February and I'm still so excited about what it's doing for people. I'm getting so much positive feedback, so many positive reviews. So I invite you to check that out. It's on Amazon, the Crush Your Goals book. It comes with a free workbook that has 29 worksheets and self-assessments that really help maximize and jumpstart your success in goal setting. So I invite you to check that out. And again, I just want to thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. I know we have so many ways that we can spend our time, and it's just so, it's such an honor that you choose to spend your time here listening to the Daily New Year's podcast. And until next time, take care.